Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Today I would like to talk about music, and specifically I would like to talk about the correlation, or the supposed correlation, between intelligence and the kind of music that you like. Now, there was a very interesting paper that was published some years ago by Satoshi Kanazawa and Carrie Perriner called Why Do Clever People Like Classical Music? And what they basically did was they found a large US sample, and they controlled for various things. They controlled for age, they controlled for sex, they controlled for education, they controlled for income, they controlled for religiousness, they controlled for all kinds of things that might be associated with the kind of music that you like. And they found that there was a very weak correlation of about 0.2, 0.1 between verbal IQ and liking instrumental music. That is to say, you know, music where there isn't any singing. Or sorry, point one. And between education and liking this kind of music, there was a relationship of 0.2. So it doubled. Now, they define instrumental music as big band music, classical music, and easy listening. And they found that with the other kinds of music, things that involve singing, some of those were negatively associated with intelligence, particularly things like rap. So there you go. They then got another sample. This was a British sample. And they found that there was a correlation of 0.4, which is quite strong, between when controlling for various things, between intelligence and liking to watch television programmes about classical music. And there was a negative association, minus 0.3, between intelligence and liking to watch television programmes about pop music. So what it seemed to indicate is that intelligence, net of other things, was associated with liking instrumental rather than music that it was accompanied by singing and that kind of thing. Now, their theory as to what this was about, why did this relationship exist, was an extremely complex and unnecessary theory called the Savannah IQ interaction hypothesis. Now, this is something like this. Basically, it says we are evolved to live on the savannah. That's what we're evolved to live on. And consequently, we have instincts, basically. We are evolved to solve problems which would have been there on the savannah. Intelligence developed once we left these problems on the savannah that we would have solved are evolutionarily familiar. We are evolved that environment, and consequently they're evolutionarily familiar, and we can solve these things using something like instinct or something like that. As we leave the savannah, we come across problems which are evolutionarily novel, and consequently we develop intelligence to be able to solve those problems, those new problems that we cannot solve via the instincts that we have adopted on the savannah. This means that intelligence, that is to say the ability to solve cognitive problems and to solve them quickly, should be associated with evolutionarily novel things which would not have been present on the savannah, and low intelligence or lack of intelligence should be associated with evolutionary familiar things which should have been present on the savannah. Now, Kanazawa's argument is that on the savannah, the kind of music there was tended to be singing, and therefore that should be associated, liking that, with low intelligence. And off the savannah, as we go off the savannah, therefore instrumental music, purely instrumental music, is evolutionarily novel because it involves the invention of musical instruments and things like that, and consequently that is evolutionarily novel and therefore should be associated with high intelligence. Now, it seems to me there are a series of absolutely fundamental problems with this theory. I did a paper on this years ago. One of them is that we are not evolved to live on the savannah. We carried on evolving until way beyond that. The Pleistocene, evolution actually sped up. There was more evolution once we left the savannah. So we're not really evolved to live on the savannah at all. To the extent that you can say we're evolved to live anywhere historically, it's the Pleistocene for most of us, rather than the savannah. So that's the first problem with it. The second problem with it is that this distinction is that clearly there is intelligence on the savannah. The idea that there's no intelligence on the savannah is evidently nonsense. And you can take people that have adapted to live on the savannah and you can give them intelligence tests, and there are differences in their IQ and in their IQ performance, which is not consistent with the idea that basically everything on the savannah is instinct, and as you move off it, then you develop intelligence. There's intelligence on the savannah, there's intelligence off the savannah. There's different levels of intelligence, but there is intelligence. And the third problem is that this distinction between evolutionary familiar and evolutionary novel is extremely vague. So all of the examples which Kanazawa has given in other studies qualities of evolutionary novelty and evolutionary familiarity can be turned on their head. For example, he asserts that on the savannah, we evolved to live with genetically similar others, and consequently liberalism, which involves helping genetically dissimilar others, would be evolutionarily novel and should be associated with intelligence. But you can equally argue that an aspect of liberalism is equality and wanting equality and things like that. And so consequently, equality is something that would have been very strong on the savannah in hunter-gatherer bands, and consequently liberalism should be associated with low intelligence, not high intelligence. Similarly, he argues that atheism is associated with intelligence because on the savannah everybody was religious and whatever, and therefore atheism is an evolutionarily a novel thing, and therefore it should be associated with intelligence because there was no atheism on the savannah. Well, it can be counter-argued that there was no belief in God on the savannah, or belief in gods. Consequently, belief in God or gods should be associated with high intelligence, and atheism should be associated, or not believing in a god, not believing in God, should be associated with low intelligence. Well, it isn't. And so there's all kinds of problems with this model. This model simply doesn't work. It's just a bad model which needs to be resigned to the dustbin of the history of models. Now, but it is, and equally, another problem is that these correlations are extremely weak, which Kanazawa presents, and a further problem is that they could be confounded by things. So, for example, he puts together big band classical music and easy listening and comes up with this weak correlation of 0.1 with that and verbal intelligence. But it could equally be the case that if you cut out some of these things, if you get rid of, for example, big band or easy listening, then the correlation could be even higher. And if the correlation were even higher or even lower, then that would tell you that something different was going on and there were other reasons for this association than this theory, which, as I said, is extremely problematic. And now, brilliantly, somebody with sort of Rentfrau and Gosling. Isn't that an interesting name? Gosling. Isn't that an interesting surname? I wish my surname was Gosling. But it isn't. Did their own analysis with a reasonably large sample as well. And they looked at the association between different kinds of music and intelligence. They coded for these different kinds of music were what they called reflective music, that is to say classical music, jazz, blues and folk music. Now, this, of course, is both classical music is instrumental in the main, what we call classical music instrumental, but something like folk music does not tend to be instrumental. It tends to involve singing. So it doesn't therefore become about instrumental, non-instrumental. It becomes about something to do with the nature of the music itself. Anyway, so that's the first one. What they code as reflective music, music that's regarded as deep, music that's regarded as looking at profound things, music that's regarded as kind of trying to get to the essence of life. They call it reflective music. The next, they classified was rock, alternative rock, heavy metal, that kind of thing. This was rebellious, classified as kind of rebellious, kind of angry, sort of rebellious, sort of angry sort of music. Then they classified upbeat. This was things like pop music and religious music and easy listening and things like this. And then finally, energetic. This was rap, hip-hop, that sort of thing. And then they looked at these kinds of things, and what they found was that there was a correlation between intelligence and liking this, what they called reflective, thought-provoking sort of music. It was a weak correlation, but it was there, of about 0.2, 0.1, something like that. 0.2. There was a weak correlation as well with liking this so-called rebellious sort of music. And there was, at least with verbal intelligence, there was a negative correlation with liking easy listening and with liking this kind of energetic music. And so this is therefore destroying Kanazawa's model, really. It's showing that even if you get rid of this distinction between instrumental and non-instrumental and just look at genres of music, there is still a relationship with intelligence, a weak relationship, but it's there. So this allows us to think about what's going on. Why would highly intelligent people like classical music and, to a lesser extent, things like heavy metal, things like Iron Maiden, who are jolly good, by the way? And why would people that were low in intelligence like energetic sort of music, rap or whatever, and upbeat, easy listening, pop, whatever that most people seem to like? What's going on there? Well, this brings us to do with the nature of intelligence, understanding the nature of intelligence. What is intelligence? Intelligence is the ability to solve cognitive problems. That's the essence of it. And it is measured by IQ tests. If something influences how well you will do on an IQ test, it influences how quickly you can solve a cognitive problem, or influences how profoundly how difficult a problem has to be before you're stumped, or influences even how interested you might be in solving cognitive problems, then this is going to be related to intelligence. Now, the first thing that you find then would be complexity. People who are highly intelligent are interested in complexity, because the more interested you are in complexity, the more able you are to note subtle differences, the more able you are to note how complex a question is, and how there are lots of different dimensions to the question, lots of different aspects to the question, lots of different possibilities to the question. The more you can note this kind of subtlety, these kinds of subtle differences, the less inclined you are to give a kind of instinctive black and white answer, then the more likely you are to get it right, the more likely you are to accurately solve an intelligence question, a question on an IQ test, the more likely you are to accurately and quickly solve a puzzle. And that's really the essence of these intelligence tests. What you're doing is solving a puzzle, and that's really the essence of intelligence, solving a puzzle. So obviously, if you're attracted to complexity, if you like complexity, if you enjoy complexity, if you like being intellectually stimulated, if you like things that are complex, because if you're attracted to those things, then you will be more interested in perceiving complexity, you will be more interested in looking for complexity, you will get something out of complexity, and this will make you better able and more incentivized to solve problems. And so it would follow that the more complex music was, the more subtlety there was to it, the more different instruments kind of melded together, the more different layers there was to the music, the more interesting you would find it, and the more intelligent you would be, the more attracted you would be to music like that. So that starts to make sense of why highly intelligent people can be, in part, attracted to classical music. Now, to some extent, you could argue this is also true of jazz music. Jazz music, I personally can't stand jazz music, but a lot of people seem to like it, and it tends, to kind of go off on wide in all these different routes and all these different layers to it, and so it's jolly interesting. Now, this is not necessarily this can be the case with some kinds of heavy metal as well, with some kinds of heavy metal, like Iron Maiden, I would argue, is quite deep sort of music. So that would be one reason, then, the attraction to complexity. The second thing is that one of the correlations of intelligence is basically being artistic. Particularly high verbal intelligence, and the relationships with verbal intelligence and liking these kinds of music were stronger than with intelligence in general. So what's going on there? What is that? Well, there's a 0.3 relationship between intelligence and the personality trait known as openness. Now, what openness is about to a certain degree is unusual psychological experiences, and being unusual psychological experiences, and also being basically artistic, being intellectually curious, being interested in things that are new, interested in things that are novel, that sort of thing. Now, how would that relate to music? Well, it would mean that you would be interested in things that were unusual, that were strange, that were highly original. These would be of interest to you. And being interested in things that were unusual, strange, and original, in weird possibilities, would help you to solve a cognitive problem. So imagine that you've got a cognitive problem of, I don't know, how to build a waterproof roof. Now, the person that would experiment with all kinds of peculiar materials would be more likely to come up with the just right material than a person that would dismiss a material as a ridiculous thing to build a roof out of. So consequently, there is an association between being highly intelligent and eccentricity, unusual thought patterns, things like this, because they allow you to better solve problems, and therefore you would be attracted to things like classical music and to jazz and to that kind of thing, to the extent that they were not just complicated, but also that they were unusual, that they broke the normal rules of things, that they were a bit strange and whatever, and original and novel. And that's what classical music often tries to be about. It tries to be original, it tries to experiment, and there's a degree to which jazz also tries to do that. It's experimental sort of music, and so you can see therefore why highly intelligent people would be interested in that. Now, another thing which is an aspect of intelligence is simply if you want to make sense of things, if you like making sense of things, if you like intellectual order, then you're going to obviously be incentivized to solve problems, and you're going to be better at solving problems, and that being the essence of intelligence. Now, you could argue that these kinds of music that are associated with intelligence, jazz and particularly classical music, what they try to do is invoke extremely complex and subtle feelings in people. Now, you could, all music, of course, tries to bring about certain feelings of arousal or joy or euphoria or whatever. But what classical music tries to do, I can't talk so much about jazz, I don't know about it, but classical music, as I understand it, is attempting to do is to bring about a kind of emotional catharsis, deep, complex feelings, to bring to life the essence of melancholy, to bring to, and so this is something which is, in a sense, attempting to, in a non-verbal way, make sense of human feelings and make sense of human experience and make sense of the world, a bit like sort of non-verbal poetry. And so you can expect people who are highly intelligent, because they like making sense of the world and they like these feelings of order and structure and everything making sense, you can expect them to be attracted, therefore, to things like classical music for that reason. And to a certain extent, also, these related genres that also do this, the kind of themes that they look at are very similar, are things like folk music and whatever, and even in the songs, and the kind of things folk music. Personally, I'm more a fan of folk music, and I'm a big fan of Genevieve Tudor's Sunday Folk, if you ever listen to that, it's really good. But so you can see how they would be attracted in that way. The third thing is that if these feelings are induced in you, then of course it makes you think. It makes you think about life. It makes you think about the nature of the world. If these subtle but cathartic feelings are induced in you, it makes you think about life. It makes you think about what's it all about. It makes you think about profundity. It makes you, it attempts to kind of get you into a certain place where you can think in a very deep way about why we're here and the nature of life and the nature of love and all of these kinds of questions. And you would expect a person who was highly intelligent to want to be brought to be placed in a state where they would be made to think about profound things. Because if a person that liked thinking about profound things, that liked thinking, that liked contemplating, would be better able to solve problems and would be more incentivized to want to solve problems. And so you can see how that would work. Also, perhaps an element of it is simply intellectual stimulation. Now, of course, we've discussed on this show many times that how intelligent you are is about 0.8 genetic, but about the rest of it is to do with environment. And a big part of it, if you look at Jim Flynn's book, Why Your Family Makes You Smarter, is simply being intellectually stimulated. You will be more intelligent. You will reach the phenotypic maximum for your possible IQ by being around other intelligent people and by doing intelligent things, reading literature and reading academic research and whatever. This will help to push you to the limits of your intelligence, doing things which stimulate complexity, doing things which involve solving problems in whatever way, that will push you to the limits of your intelligence. By contrast, sitting there and listening to songs that go something like Viva, Viva, Viva la Radio, how I love my radio, by Lolly, or whatever it is, that's not going to do that. That's kind of easy listening, that's kind of relaxing, that's kind of chewing gum for the mind, in the words of Father Ted. That's not stimulating the mind. So if you are the kind of person that will want to listen to these kinds of music that are intellectually stimulating, then you will become more intelligent, perhaps as a consequence, and this will push you to your phenotypic maximum intelligence, and consequently you will be better at solving problems, and you will come across as having a higher IQ score, at least at the environmental level. And that's what we kind of see with these things. It makes you, it puts you in this deep state, it makes you want to think about profound things, and this is going to elevate your ability to solve problems. So we can see in all these ways why we would expect more intelligent people to be more attracted to these kinds of things. As I say, music is not my thing. And I was, I would like to thank Oliver Rayner Hills Esquire, whose idea this video was, and who indeed has commissioned it. It's more his thing than my thing. But that is, as an outsider to music, as a person who is perfectly happy to claim that he has quite bad taste in music, I think that this is a reasonable understanding of what is going on and why these relationships exist. And the idea that they exist because of some evolution to the savannah clearly doesn't work. That doesn't explain what's going on. If it did explain what was going on, then it would be a problem to include folk music in that category, because folk music almost always involves singing. The category, I mean, of intellectually stimulating music that's associated with high IQ, and it would reduce the relationship, but it doesn't reduce the strength of the relationship. If anything, it seems to elevate the strength of the relationship. So it can be argued that certain kinds of music are the equivalent of reading of you know, going to a play by Ibsen or whatever, going to something that's highly thought-provoking and stimulating and whatever. And certain kinds of music, the ones that are negatively associated with intelligence, are the equivalent of watching a soap opera or, you know, something very lowbrow and basic. And so we can see why these relationships would exist. Okay, well, I hope this is a bit of interest, and if it has, then you can, if you want to support this channel, then you can see the various ways of doing so below. And if you have an idea for a video, then please do get in touch with me, and I will treat your ideas extremely seriously, and I will perhaps do a video based on them, in which case you will be duly acknowledged if you wish. And remember to tune in at 7 o'clock UK time, 2 o'clock New York time, on Mondays and Thursdays for at the Jolly Heretic live stream, and I will see you soon, and goodbye!